নিত্যাই গৌরাঙ্গা, নিত্যাই গৌরাঙ্গা, নিত্যাই গৌরাঙ্গা, নিত্যাই গৌরাঙ্গা, নিত্যাই গৌরাঙ্গা গৌরা হরে, নিত্যাই গৌরাঙ্গা হরে, জয় সচ্চিদানন্দন, জয় সচ্চিদানন্দন, ও জয় সচ্চিদানন্দন, জয় সচ্চিদানন্দন, ও নিত্যাই গৌরাঙ্গা, নিত্যাই গৌরাঙ্গা, নিত্যাই গৌরাঙ্গা, নিত্যাই গৌরাঙ্গা, ও নিত্যাই গৌরাঙ্গা গৌরা হরে, গৌরা হরে, গৌরা হরে, নিত্যাই গৌরাঙ্গা, নিত্যাই গৌরাঙ্গা, জয় সচ্চিদানন্দন, জয় সচ্চিদানন্দন, ও জয় প্রভুপাদ, জয় প্রভুপাদ, নিত্যাই গৌরা হরি ও, হরি ও, হরি ও, হরি ও, হরি ও, হরি ও, নিত্যাই গৌরা হরি ও, অনন্তকোটি বৈষ্ণববৃন্দ নামাচার্য শ্রীল হরিদাসকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রীতলার শিবস্বদিগুরভক্তবৃন্দ শিশ্রীরদা কৃষ্ণ গোপ গোপীনাথ শ্যামকুন্দরকুন্দ গিরিগোবর্ধন গঙ্গমৈকি যমুনামৈকি তুলসী মহারণীকি গৌরপ্রমন্দে Okay, so we are reading today from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, continuing from text 138. So please repeat after me. Krishnanga Lavanya Pura Madura Haite Sumadura Napura Madura Haite Sumadura Tate Je Muka Sudakara Madura Haite Sumadura Tahaha Ite Sumadura Madura Haite Sumadura Tataha Ite Sumadura Tara Jai Smita Jasna Bara Okay, we have many verses to read here according to the calendar that was given to me, so we will just move on to the translation now, but we will take it easy and we will go slowly with the translation. These are very, very beautiful, beautiful verses, probably some of the most beautiful verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we would like to take it easy when we read them and we try to meditate on them. So the translation. Krishna's body is a seat. Actually, you should repeat after me, after the phrases. Krishna's body is a city of attractive features.
Krishna's body is a city of attractive features.
And it is sweeter than sweet.
Sweet.
His face, which is like the moon, is sweeter still. And the supremely sweet, gentle smile. On that moonlight face, it's like rays of moonshine. The smile on Krishna's face, which is like the smiling of the moon, generates greater and greater happiness for the gopis. Okay, text number 139. Madura haite sa madura taha haite sa madura. Madura haite sa madura taha haite sa madura. Taha haite ati su madura. Apa nara eka kane yate sabavitu tribhuvane. Apa nara eka kane yate sabavitribhuvane. Dasa dipyate yarapura. Okay, so text 139, translation. The beauty of Krishna's smile is the sweetest feature of all.
Is
the sweetest feature of all. His smile is like a full moon that spreads its rays
throughout the three worlds.
Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual sky of the Vaikunthas, and Devidam, the material world. Thus Krishna's shining beauty spreads in all 10 directions. Smita Kirana Sukarpure Paise Adare Madure. Kirana Sukarpure Paise Adare Madure. Sei Madhu Mataya Tribhuvane. Bamsi Chitra Akase Taraguna Shapre Paise. Dwani Rute Pana Parinname. This is light, smiling, and fragrant illumination.
Are compared to camphor,
which enters the sweetness of his lips. That sweetness is transformed and enters into space as vibrations from the holes of his flute. Let that sink in for a second. Okay, so text 141 So text 141. Sedwani Chaudike Yaya Andavedi Vaikunte Yaya. Vale paise yatara kane. Saba mayo mato yala karim bala tare anidari. Visheshataha yuvatiragane. The sound of Krishna's flute spreads in the four directions.
Spreads in the four directions.
Even though Krishna vibrates his fluid within this universe, its sound pierces the universal covering and goes to the spiritual sky. Thus the vibration enters the ears of all inhabitants. It especially enters Goloka Vrindavan Dham and attracts the minds of the young damsels of Braja Bhumi, bringing them forcibly to where Krishna is present. Okay, let's just stop here for a second. Let's comment on that. Before we continue, we're supposed to do four more verses after that. But let's just start with that, just to make a short comment. So, first of all, there were some three classes were given here at the beginning of the week by Ramapad Swami. Very, very interesting classes. But especially the one he gave on Tuesday is related to this, and I thought, well, that is what the Srimad Bhagavatam is saying about sound. Sound is that which generates an idea from a distant place, right? That was Tuesday's class. The concept of sound, how sound is generated, what is it, how does it come, what is the function of sound. And then Wednesday's class was an explanation of Vayu and Prana. And explanation, well, the difference between Vayu and Prana was that Vayu was more like the material concept of air, our material element, air, expressed through the air that we experience in the material world. And then Prana, which is the air that is connected to Krishna, the life air. Okay, so that is what Srimad Bhagavatam explains about this concept, about sound and Vayu and Prana. Now, sound, as it was explained, it is the most subtle of all the elements and the most important of all the elements. And as we have said here before, even Nikola Tesla, the great, great scientist of the 20th century, he said that ultimately the whole material creation can be reduced to frequencies, sound frequencies. That's what this is all made out of. So if you divide the different elements like this wood or even my hands or the marble, you keep dividing into the smaller and smaller items, scientists are finding out that there are smaller and smaller items, and these smaller items, they call them different things like atoms and nucleus and electrons and protons, but they see, well, there is no real substance to it. There is something else that is beyond these atoms and these electrons. And that's why Tesla ended up concluding that it's all about vibration. It's just the whole material creation is in vibration. So, what vibration? Where does the vibration come from? What is the importance of this vibration? Okay, so, as we know from the Brahma Samhita, what the Vedas is telling us, the Vedas say that Krishna is always playing on his flute, and when the flute of Krishna reaches Lord Brahma's ear, Lord Brahma is able to translate or manifest the teachings of the Vedas by which the universe is created. So that is one aspect of the sound of Krishna's flute that spreads in the four directions. four directions here. But the fact is that when Krishna vibrates his flute within this universe, its sound pierces the universal covering and goes to the spiritual sky. Which means that Krishna's flute, the sound of his flute, it's not a linear sound, it's not a material sound, it's not a sound like I can play with this flute here that will go from here to there, will reach a certain space, and then it will be gone or end, or it will have a certain time limit. But Krishna's flute, when he plays that music, his music, there is no time limit on his music. In fact, there is no dimensional limit to his music. It's like a kaleidoscope. In other words, that according to Saraputta Prabhu, we live in a multi-dimensional universe. In a universe where some universes have Brahmas with four heads, some Brahmas have 10 heads, some Brahmas have 100 heads. There's so many universes. It's beyond our conception. It's inconceivable. Achintya is like, who can know these things? We can. The only way we can understand this or get a glimpse of what the reality really is because Srila Prabhupada put it in his books. You know, he gave us a glimpse. Well, this is what the spiritual world really looks like. And what does it look like? Well, what it is that the sound of Krishna's flute spreads in the four directions, even though Krishna vibrates his flute within this universe. Yeah, he's vibrating his flute here in Vrindavan, but that sound of the flute goes to all the universes, goes everywhere, and it enters Lord Brahma's ear as well. And Lord Brahma keeps translating the Vedas, keeps putting the Vedas into existence because he's listening to Krishna's flute. Ultimately, it all comes from Krishna's flute, but how, and now the mechanics is, how is Krishna creating that music? Where does it come from? Where does the music come from? From his prana, from his life air, the prana. Anybody that plays flute knows that you gotta breathe into that instrument in order to create a sound. Breathe. And when you breathe into the instrument, that's when you can manipulate your alveolos, your lips, and your fingers and so on and create a sound. And now that sound, what kind of sound is that? Well, that sound is a reflection which comes from the previous verses, that Krishna's body is a city of attractive features, and it is sweeter than sweet. His face, which is like the moon, is sweeter still. And ultimately, the beauty of Krishna's smile is the sweetest feature of all. His smile is like a full moon that spreads its rays throughout the three worlds. That's where that sound comes from. The sweetness of Krishna's smile. It's kind of esoteric to understand this point, but if you ever play music, not just music that you learn from the page, or sometimes we have to do that as professional musicians. We learn music and you gotta read a piece of music. Like recently we just got an engagement we are supposed to play in 2 weeks. Okay, and they want us to play this music, so we have to get the music, we have to learn how to play it. Now that's one way to go to play music. But the other way is that you gotta put that flute to your lips. I don't know if I can do this right now, I don't know, let's see.
Thank you.
when you put that flute on the lips and you are improvising, when you are improvising, and we sometimes play music from great composers like Bach, the composers didn't just compose the music, they didn't just write it down. They actually listen. They listen to music that is coming from another dimensional space. From a good composer is one that is a very good listener, and is listening to music that is going through their heads. Now, if you studied Indian music or classical Indian music, maybe you have more of a chance to get in touch with that source of the meditation, of that source of the transcendental sound. And therefore, you are maybe getting closer to the source, because the source is actually Krishna's flute music. So, it says, his slight smiling and fragrant illumination are compared to camphor which enters the sweetness of his lips. This is like a smiling, fragrant illumination enters the sweetness of his lips. So that's why when that sweetness enters the lips of Krishna and he creates the sound, he can create this music that touches the heart with different emotions, different vibrations, different feelings. It's all about feelings. Feelings of what? Well, let's continue, because that's where we are going. What happens with those feelings that are created by Krishna? So text number one, I guess we are on 143. Because now we ended up saying that the sound of Krishna's flute spreads in the four directions, and then it reaches Goloka Vrindavan, where the gopis are there, right? So now text 143 goes, the vibration of his flute is slackened the knots of their underwear, even in front of their husbands. Thus the gopis are forced to abandon their household duties and come before Lord Krishna. In this way, all social etiquette, shame and fear are vanquished. The vibration of his flute causes all women to dance. Okay, I'm not going to dwell too much into this. Srila Prabhupada was not too much into discussing these issues of Madhurya Ras. Recently the devotees have been getting more into discussing these issues, but truly speaking, Srila Prabhupada didn't like it too much. In fact, when he was traveling in South India, there was a Brahmana that wanted Srila Prabhupada to speak about Madhurya Ras. And he kept asking him. And one day Prabhupada said, well, you may be qualified to listen about Madhurya Ras, but I'm not qualified to speak. So, I will just say a few words, not to get beyond what Prabhupada would want me to say. But the fact is that he's translating here, the vibration of Krishna's flute slackens the knots of their underwear, even in front of their husbands. Why? Because some of this music is very seductive. It's very emotional, has a lot of feelings, feelings of love, loving relationships in Madhurya Ras. This is, we are talking exactly about Madhurya Ras. So these feelings, they just, when the gopis hear that sound vibration, they just can't control themselves. They're just like, this is what we have been waiting for. This is what we, this is what Krishna's sound vibration of his flute and his music is, and we are attracted by it. So let me see if I can, as I say, if I can play some of this music, let me see. That is the raga Chandra Kosh. That is the raga that is attributed to Krishna when he plays in the forest of Vrindavan in the middle of the night during Kartik to attract the gopis to come to him. So it's a very seductive type of melody, raga, melodious raga. It's called Chandra Kosh, the song of the Lord of Vrindavan. And of course the feminine is Malkosh, raga Malkosh, which has a variation on that, and that is actually played by Srimati Radharani, who happens to play the flute as well. Srimati Radharani is a very great flautist. We sometimes will see paintings, especially if you go to probably Delhi, the Shishi Radha Parasarthi temple. In the back of the temple you will see several paintings of Srimati Radharani playing on her flute, or stealing Krishna's flute as well. But now, let's continue. We still have a few more verses to go, and definitely don't want to take on Mother Mukhi's cleaning of the Gundicha temple today. So we'll continue. Text number 144. The vibration of his flute is just like a bird that creates a nest within the ears of the gopis and always remains prominent there, not allowing any other sound to enter their ears. Indeed, the gopis cannot hear anything else, nor are they able to concentrate on anything else, nor even to give a suitable reply. Such are the effects of the vibration of Lord Krishna's flute. Wow. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The vibration of Krishna's flute is always prominent in the ears of the gopis. Naturally, they cannot hear anything else. Constant remembrance of the holy sound of Krishna's flute keeps them enlightened and enlivened, and they do not allow any other sound to enter their ears. Since their attention is fixed on Krishna's flute, they cannot divert their minds to any other subject. In other words, a devotee who has heard the sound of Krishna's flute forgets to talk or hear of any other subject. This vibration of Krishna's flute is represented by the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. A serious devotee of the Lord who chants and hears this transcendental vibration becomes so accustomed to it that he cannot divert his attention to any subject matter not related to Krishna's blissful characteristics and paraphernalia. So, Prabhupada is saying here that he is comparing the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to the vibration of Krishna's flute. So if you actually really, really, really want to hear Krishna's flute, you want to chant your rounds very carefully and take shelter of that holy name. It reminds me of that story of Radhana Swami when he was in India in the Ganges. He was meditating on a rock and he was playing on his harmonica and realized that, well, you know, I don't need this harmonica anymore. So he took the harmonica and threw it down the river. And he said, it is in his book, Journey Home, that from the harmonica came the sounds of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In other words, that he heard the melody. He heard the melody of the Hare Krishna Mantra when he threw the harmonica into the river. So that's what it is. If you focus on the holy name of Krishna, that sound of Krishna's flute will reveal not only that, but also what we were just talking about here, what we were just reading, the sweetness of Krishna's lips that are transformed into that sound vibration of the flute. That also will reveal in your heart, and then you will be able to understand how that music of the flute, that sweetness, it is being revealed to us. And I believe that was the last verse and purport that I was supposed to read here. So I just would like to repeat this again, which is very important. Since the devotee's attention is fixed on Krishna's flute, the gopis' attention is fixed on Krishna's flute, they cannot divert their minds to any other subject. In other words, the devotee who has heard the sound of Krishna's flute forgets to talk or hear of any other subject, which is the essence of Krishna consciousness. Because what happens is that as soon as your mind is diverted from thoughts of Krishna, you put anything else before Krishna, then you are subject to the reflection of a shadow. You are subject to the false ego. And that false ego is very tricky. Don't give your false ego not even 1 inch. Nothing. Don't trust your false ego at all. Like, recently, I was thinking, oh well, you know, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for so many years, I'm involved in doing all these readings, maybe I'm free from all of this. Yeah, maybe I'm free. Maybe I'm already going back to the spiritual world, I'm ready to go. And I told my wife, Brihan Devi, I said, yeah, maybe that's it, I'm going back to the spiritual world. And she said, no, don't even give an inch to your false ego. Nothing. You're not free from it. Nobody's free from your false ego. You cannot say you're free from it. Don't ever think about it. And if you think about the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and his experiences, did he ever say that he was free from his false ego? Did he ever say that he was free from Maya? Or did he pray, please, Lord Krishna, don't bring me your Maya? That is the position of the devotee. Please, Krishna, don't bring me your Maya. I don't need it. I don't want it. Take it away. Prahlad Maharaj, one of our greatest acharyas, in the Nrisimha Naradiya Purana, what did he say? He said, oh Lord Narasimha, I'm not afraid of your mane. I'm not afraid of your terrible face and your terrible demeanor. But I'm really afraid of your illusory energy. We really, really need to be very careful with the false ego, because the false ego is very tricky. It's a reflection of a shadow, it's a mirage, it's like a, you don't even see it before you know it, it's in your heart already. You already think that you are somebody, or that you have some name and fame, or you got some money, or you are very handsome and you can attract women, or you can do this or that. Yeah, it's just like that. It's just an idea that comes from a distant place. Now, we gotta make sure that the ideas that come from a distant place are the ideas of Krishna, the flute of Krishna represented in his holy name, incarnated actually. That's what it is. Thanks to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that will be the next verse that will be presented here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did lose his consciousness teaching these teachings to teaching the opulence of sweetness of Sri Krishna to Sanatana Goswami and his disciples. He lost consciousness. Just thinking about the sweetness of Krishna. He lost consciousness. But thanks to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has brought Krishna's flute and made it into the incarnation of the holy name. He installed the holy name in the altar of our hearts. That's the amazing thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. It's so amazing, it's just, if you think about it, that just by chanting the names of Krishna, one can actually liberate, or we have the chance and opportunity, the opportunity to liberate ourselves from the material world. So, if there is anything in this world that is good, that is valuable, that you want to spend time on, that you want to put your energy is in the chanting of the names. Whatever time you have, just give it to the name. Give it to the name. Because if you are with the name, you're safe. You're in a safe position. And remember, that name is also that flute of Krishna. And the sound of Krishna's flute, it is in your heart. Now, some of the great musicians, like Bach and Vivaldi, and some of the great musicians, they have great ears. They were very... And if you see some of the, even in some of the jazz players, I mean, I've played with some very, very good players in jazz. And some of the great jazz players used to teach, used to study with my teacher, classical Indian music. And I had some great flautists and trumpet players coming to our performance when we used to perform in New York City. We performed the Mahabharata. I remember talking with Don Cherry. I don't know if you know him, but anyway, he was a very famous trumpet player. And he came after the performance. He was very appreciative. He said, oh yes, I've studied Indian music as well. So a lot of these jazz players, when they are playing their jazz, which is actually based on classical Indian music, they really are listening. It's all about listening. They really concentrate on listening to that music that is coming through their hearts. It's just that our job, and that was Prabhupada's greatness, is that all us, yeah, music, you know, just offer it to Krishna. Offer it to Krishna. Because when you offer it to Krishna, it will become purified, and you will bring it back to the source. The same thing as when we offer a lamp to the Ganges or to the Yamuna River, we are offering that light back to the source. So that's what all we are doing, is just offering everything back to the source. Everything you do, whatever prasadam, whatever you have, just offer it to Krishna. Anyway, we'll stop right here for any questions that anybody may have. This is a very heavy or very deep subject matter. I try to touch also on some of the teachings that were expressed here last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Actually, I think the teaching on Monday's class was Maharaj was talking about the concept of Nirvana and the teachings of Buddhism concerning pain or unhappiness, or but actually, as he remarked clearly, as we just said, it all comes from that false ego, that pain and happiness, or it comes really from the feelings by being separate from Krishna, basically. But if you are with Krishna, then all blessings are with you. So in other words, he was saying, life is suffering, right? The Buddha said, life is suffering. In order to get away from the suffering, then you have to, in order to reach Nirvana, then you gotta follow certain principles. And that is correct to a certain point, but if you don't get rid of your false ego, you know, those principles are gonna, you know, you're not gonna get rid of them. And how do you get rid of them? It's by always putting Krishna first. And it comes back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. You gotta remember the name of God. Of course, a lot of the Buddhists groups these days. Like I've traveled through the Orient, we traveled for several years doing Sankirtan over there. They chant the names of Buddha. They actually, Buddha became a person. Mahayana Buddhists, they are into the worship of the Buddha as a person. Amitabha. Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha. And you'll see them on the beach chanting constantly. Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha. You know, like we would go around and you'd see. If you go to Taiwan, and if you go to Japan, they will be singing Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu. They got that idea. Where did they get the idea from? They got the ideas from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But also, these are all cultures. Like when we were in Nagasaki, actually a beautiful city, very beautiful, very nice people in Nagasaki, although we bombed them out, it doesn't matter, they are still very nice. They were very nice to us. And we went to the Kuan Yin Temple to offer respects. And at the entrance of the Kuan Yin Temple in Nagasaki, there is a Krishna playing on his flute on a bas relief. So I asked the priest, why do you have this image here? And the priest said, oh, that is Karashima Buddha. So even Krishna is a Buddha in the Buddhist tradition. So that's the way it is. Krishna is everywhere, it enters everywhere. And actually, ultimately, he has entered into the names of God. To chant the names of God, and you'll be happy. All right, any questions? Any, yes, you have any questions?
Hare Krishna, I was wondering about the sound, you know, the universal sound, Om, and how, like, when we chant Hare Krishna, like real fast, and like it turns into that vibrate. I don't know if it's the same. And I was also wondering if we are chanting the names, the holy names, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, what is Krishna's sound? What is his sound? Like the what is the sound from his flute? What does that sound like?
Well, the Hare Krishna mantra is composed of 16 syllables. That is actually sound that is produced by our vocal cords. And the sound itself, you would actually need to meditate on that sound or study certain specific kind of music to understand the different melodies and how these melodies are created. Because there are many different kinds of melodies. Different feelings and emotions. Like Srimati Radharani plays some ragas that they are like very different from whatever Krishna plays. And Krishna can play in the forest in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening. So according to the time of the day, according to the circumstance, he's going to play a different type of melody. So that cannot be really related in the sense to the Hare Krishna mantra. Except that with the Hare Krishna mantra, you can enter into the pastimes of Krishna. You can enter into understanding the teachings of the Krishna book. And I wanted to mention something here. I don't know if this is controversial or not, but recently I had to sign one of these pledges, you know, as a speaker here, that I am a member of ISKCON and that I follow ISKCON. And so, and then there is this huge controversy on the internet that some devotees saying, well, you cannot speak here because you are not an ISKCON devotee. Well, I've always been an ISKCON devotee. This and that. Well, what is an ISKCON devotee? An ISKCON devotee is one who reads Prabhupada's books. That's an ISKCON devotee. And the fact is that I appreciate other devotees. I really do. I have so many good friends in other sampradayas, but listen, I just don't have the time to read any other authors' books. I don't have the time. I only have the time to read these books. And therefore, if these are the books that I am reading, this is the source of my connection to where I have to go. where am I going? Where do I want to go? I want to go to Goloka Vrindavan. I want to be there. I want to hear Krishna playing on his flute. So I don't have the time. I don't have the time to read other books. And they may be good. They may be right. And they may be good for some other people. Like my son became a devotee of Sridhar Maharaj. Sridhar, you know, our Sridhar Maharaj, friend of Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, when we have our Bhagavad Gita classes, he'll bring up Sridhar Maharaj's poem on a certain chapter. And beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And I appreciate Sridhar Maharaj's point of view. I said, wow, that's beautiful. That's so wonderful. But I'm not going to go out of my way to read Sridhar Maharaj's book because I don't have the time. I really don't, because these were the books that were given to me. So I will put a plug here for Nandini Kishore, who asked me to tell you, to those who are here and those who are listening on the internet, if you don't have the Chaitanya Charitamrita or the books already, please get them. Very important to have Prabhupada's books in your library and read them. You know, I remember when we moved here about 2 or 3 years ago from Hawaii, and we had the books in a box, and my wife wanted to take them out. I said, no, we need to have an altar. We need to have some place to put them. We finally found a bookshelf, and when we put those books in the bookshelf, I said, oh, now this is the altar for the books, because these books are deities. They are deities. These will get you back, they'll get you back to Godhead. They'll get you to understand Krishna consciousness. So if you don't have a Chaitanya Charitamrita or Srimad Bhagavatam, please get them. Get them for you or your friends. Put them on your bookshelf and read them. Eventually, they're very patient. These books, these deities are very patient. They're waiting for you to pick them up and read them. You know, they're just there, waiting. And then one day you'll pick them up and you'll read them and say, wow, this is so beautiful. So, please get the books. Very well. Any other questions? If not, I would like to make a pledge to all those people that are listening out there on Facebook or YouTube. To, if you had any desire to come here for the cleansing of the Kundicha temple, please come, because you will make Mother Mukhya very, very happy. Because that's her favorite pastime. And she loves taking care of this temple. So please come and help Mother Mukhya to cleanse the temple, so we can have a very nice program tomorrow for Bharatiya. Hare 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 Krishna.